Hello and welcome along to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. I'm your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
If you've been struggling with anxiety or know someone who has been, then this podcast is for you.
Today, we're going to be covering some more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.
Ready? Let's dive in.
Jen is a certified life coach through Health Coach Institute and launched Kindfulness Coaching in 2022. Jen has 16 years of experience working in the social work and mental health space, which allows her to bring a unique experience to her coaching practice. Jen started Kindfulness Coaching after experiencing stress and anxiety in the workplace and supports professional women and entrepreneurs to ditch the chaos and overwhelm and restore calm, productive order to their life and business. Thank you so much for joining me, Jen. It's really great to have you on.
I'm really excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, when you applied to be on the podcast, I was reading through and I loved when it popped up that you were a kindfulness coach.
That's my intent, to like make it pop. And I'm so glad it had that effect.
It so did. I was just like, oh my gosh, I love that title. So can you tell us a bit more about what that means, what it looks like, and who you help?
Yeah, so I am all about the Be Kind movement. I am about being kind to yourself, number one, and being kind to others. And so kindfulness is a play on mindfulness, but it is really designed to, as a reminder of how important it is to be kind to ourselves and put ourselves first, because as women, I think we struggle with that. And so I work with a lot of women who really struggle with that overwhelm and anxiety and are always putting themselves last. And I was one of those people. So that's kind of where the name came from for me.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's break that down. So kindfulness is a play on mindfulness. Oh my gosh. I didn't see that, but it's just like, oh yeah, totally. But I love that going together, because being mindful of being kindful, kindfulness to yourself. Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah. Just a reminder. It's just like that, one of those like, oh yeah, I should be kind to myself today. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting when you're saying about women, because I think we're trained to be kind to other people. To act, be kind, be nice, you know, but so often that doesn't happen to ourselves. So often it's easy to kind of focus on everyone else, on being kind to other people, but then they're not giving that self-kindness, and especially with having really high expectations of yourself if you're working and maybe being a parent and, you know, potentially having to look after a household and all that extra stuff, it can kind of pile on, and then high expectations don't necessarily lead to kindness.
Absolutely.
So what is a shift that you get people to do to help to create that kindness? Because it's saying to yourself, be kind to yourself, but how, what's some practical ways you actually do this?
So one of the first thing I'll do with my clients is really, instead of being more goal specific, I'm very priority specific. Ooh. So I help my clients to really hone in on what's important to them and why. So when we go forward with creating a plan or creating like that roadmap to just experiencing less chaos in their life, we are looking at their priorities and what is important to you. And by starting there, I feel like it's a really great place to just get somebody to recognize what it is they need in their life.
Okay. That's interesting, a shift from goals to priorities. So much is interesting because the business space is goal orientated. You know, what are you going to achieve this year? What are your financial goals? What's your business goals, output goals, impact goals? And that priority side of things is really interesting to focus in more on that. And it sounds a lot also like figuring out what your values are. What's what are the things that are pivotal to you?
What's the most important? And along the way, we have, you know, these little micro goals in the mix, but all of them are based on your priorities, what you feel is important, and how do we make sure we're making decisions to support what's important to you?
Yes. And I guess that counters the whole shoulds, the things that you should be doing.
Yes.
Because if they're if they're not priorities, then they aren't the things they're going to be doing.
Yeah. And I think that's a big shift for people, you know, because when they are getting ready to make a decision, you know, they can look back at their little priority cheat sheet and think about, okay, does this align with what it is that's important to me? And if the answer is no, that sometimes comes as a surprise to clients, like, okay, I can say no to this and it's going to be okay, because we're always those like, yes, people, and people pleasing all the time, which doesn't align with where we want to be.
And so you were mentioning that you help people with burnout and anxiety. And yeah. So finding these priorities is helping because they're not going to be saying yes to yes. things that aren't priorities.
Yeah.
I guess with burnout as well, you're not able to, because you get to that level of saying yes to so many things that aren't priorities that you burn out, then you yes. don't have the space and capacity for what is important to you.
Absolutely.
So it's really that swap, that shift.
Yeah. You know, when you're saying yes to so many other things and people, you know, what you want to do for yourself just kind of falls on to the back burner and you generally forget about it. And these are usually tasks or activities that make you feel good or things you want to do. And when you're not doing those things, that's where the burnout comes in.
When you're not being kind and caring to yourself, that's part of the burnout piece. It's not just that you're doing too much. It's that it's what you're not doing as well.
I love that take on it. Yes. Like what you're not doing could be causing your burnout.
I just have like the brain explosion moment of like, oh my gosh, like you feel like you're doing everything and that's what the problem is. But it's like, no, there is some significant things that are not happening that need to be happening for you to be good and healthy.
Yeah.
And that's where the priorities thing comes in. Because if you don't know what your priorities are, I feel sometimes like I'm just running around like a chicken with its head chopped off, not knowing what I'm doing, just running around.
Exactly. And just going from like one task to the other without even thinking. Like, and I have a lot of women that I work with that are just like, I'm just go, go, go all the time. Mm. Like, I don't even think about what I'm doing. And so that act of slowing down and just being curious with what it is you're choosing to do.
The slowing down piece is really interesting. One thing we do, which we came up with a while ago, was it's like Tai Chi chores, where you do a chore, but you do it as slowly as you possibly can to just kind of retrain your brain that you don't have to be rushing, that you can actually slow down and you're still safe.
Yeah.
And that slow down piece, when you're at that point of there's so much happening, there's so much to do, it feels like you've got more to do than you could possibly do.
Yeah.
That slow down and reprioritize feels like something you don't have time for, but actually you don't have time because you're not prioritizing. This just like keeps feeding into itself. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you like slow down and take that step back, you might find like I'm doing all of these things and maybe I could delegate them, or maybe they're not important to do, or maybe, you know, somebody else can do this for me, or just deciding it doesn't need to be done.
Yeah, this is actually irrelevant.
Right?
Not meeting any of my goals. This isn't helpful. Maybe I could just get rid of this. Yeah.
And you know, you may experience this too, just as, you know, a woman in business is we do all these things because we think, okay, we're supposed to do this, but is it really helping my business?
Yeah.
Or are we doing it to do it?
Yeah. When I had my second baby recently, it was very much like, what are the most important things that I can be doing? What are the things that I do for the business that are kind of moving the needle? And doing the podcast has been one of them. And it has been because it's just like, I do not have time to do all the little bits and pieces. And it's like, got to focus down onto the key things because it can be actually, and this is where sometimes getting to those breaking points can be quite helpful, because they can be those moments where you're like, okay, I need to actually take some time to figure out what's gone askew. Whereas when things are kind of not quite going right, but it's not to the breaking point, you can kind of just keep soldiering.
Keep pushing. And I think just taking, like, I follow a life coach, Brooke Castilla, and she's a famous, very successful life coach. And she talks about hour one, and it is taking 1 hour on a Monday to kind of set yourself up for success throughout the week. So deciding what it is, like what your priorities are, what the tasks are that you have to do. And so even taking some of that time out, if you did it once a week, if you did it every day, because it's so important to take that time out to really refocus and figure out, am I doing the things I need to be?
Planning always feels like it's taking up time where you're not getting stuff done. But always when you do it, you're like, actually, that saved me a whole lot of time. And I'm really glad I did that.
Right. And when you feel like so unorganized, that causes like way more stress and anxiety, and that we're like, oh my gosh, my brain is spinning.
My brain can't hold all the things. And it's like, maybe if you planned and wrote them down, that would help. I feel like this is just a really good reminder for me to do these things again, because we've been having some weeks like this and it's just like, oh my gosh, everything, it feels like there's so much going on. So that is really helpful.
And we all have those weeks. Yeah. Like we all have those weeks where like, wow, I'm just really off track. And, but we usually like have the tools to get ourselves back on track, or, you know, at least have a good idea of how to get back to that place that we need to be.
And if you don't, that's a good point to start getting some support, get those tools to be able to
do not have that.
We have Jen. Yes. Awesome. You mentioned that you've been through your own journey with this. I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah. So I was a social worker for like 15, 16 years now. I know. And I worked a lot of time in the hospital system, and it's a very big organization, and there's not a lot of freedom in the work that you do. And you're very structured in showing up 9 to 5 every day and writing your notes at this time. And if you're seeing clients, you miss your lunch break. It doesn't really matter. It wasn't really honored very well. And then my husband actually experienced a medical issue, and he was hospitalized for a significant amount of time. And I had to take time off of work. And during that time, I realized that what I was doing didn't really align with what I wanted for my future. I wanted to be a support for my husband. I wanted to be able to come home and not feel so much stress from the end of my day. I was always tired. I would come home from work and I'm like, if I don't take a nap, I'm going to go to bed very early. I can't think about what I want for dinner because I've used too much brain cells today. And so during that time when he was hospitalized, I really just started thinking about what is important to me. And I recognized that I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't doing, you know, my own health journey. I wasn't doing things that I actually liked and enjoyed. And so that time for me was a really good reflection. And when my husband came home from the hospital, I said, I think I want to quit my job and be a life coach. And he's like, oh, okay. Sounds great.
Awesome. That's so great.
But yeah, I mean, sometimes you don't even know that you're in that burnout place until you really, like, something happens to really get your mind going. Like, I don't want to be in this place anymore. I'm not happy here.
Yes. It's interesting when you take a break, take a step back from your life, and then have a look and go, is this actually what I want to be doing? Because it's so easy when you're in the day to day of it to kind of just keep doing the next day and the next day, even if you're exhausted and it's not what you want to be doing. And it's interesting that you had that moment, and probably with your husband in the hospital, a real reflection on what's important as well, I imagine.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. And it was like, you know, I think that you, as a woman, I said to myself, like, well, I feel like I'm supposed to be working a 9 to 5 job every day. This is how, you know, I support myself and my family. And I can't just quit my job and go like pursue something that I might like better. Ooh. And so all those questions came into my head. And I'm like, how do I make this happen? How do I find something that's going to make me happy and not make me feel all of that stress and those gross feelings that I don't want to feel anymore?
And how do you do that without the self-negativity of, I shouldn't be doing this, and, you know, there's things I should be doing to provide, and this is...
Yeah, that took a lot of mindset work. I was like diving into personal development books, and I was reading some of these books, and I was like, oh, these women are pretty amazing and strong, and I could do that too.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. And it's interesting, those moments in our life that make that shift, that we kind of need these moments where we reflect, we re-examine our lives, or we get to a point, sometimes it needs to be a breaking point where we get burnout or something happens. For a lot of our clients, the anxiety gets so extreme that it's affecting their functioning. And so they come to us to get that help. But it actually can be really good, because otherwise you just keep carrying on rather than prioritize and actually live your life in a way that's meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure if my husband didn't go through his medical things and he wasn't hospitalized, I might still be at the hospital. Ooh. I might still just be going through the motions of every day. I might not have had that wake-up call that something out there was better for me.
Absolutely. Kind of the sliding door moment that, you know, yeah. you do one thing or other, and it's that kind of transition where you kind of go off on a new path and in a new direction. Yeah. And is this what a lot of the point where you help people is when they're getting to this point as well?
Yes. And so my role is, you know, if you are in a place that burnout might be holding you and you're feeling a little bit stuck, or you're starting to experience those symptoms of burnout, my role is to help to guide you to a place that you can get more. I like to say you can start integrating work into your life. Rather than work-life balance, I want you to integrate work into your life. I don't want work to be something that defines everything that happens during your day. And I want to help you find that place to continue to be productive and be successful, but also really just nourish those relationships with yourself and with your family.
I'm really captured by the priorities piece, by the kindness that comes out of refocusing on what's important and then giving yourself permission to do that too. And there must be a piece actually with that as well, because your priorities don't actually always match up with everyone else's priorities.
Yes.
Giving yourself permission, let your priorities be your life's priorities, not everyone else's.
Right.
What does that look like?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good question. But I think, you know, for me, helping them to dig into their priorities, but also holding my own space. And so I may be able to help guide them outside of maybe what I think or what I believe. You know, if I think that maybe this isn't the right thing for you to go for, I'm not going to say that, because I'm going to let them experience what it is that they think is important to them. And usually we're going to get to the root of what's going on. But for me, it's very important to me to set clear boundaries for myself. To not, you know, I have certain working hours. So if somebody is trying to reach me late at night or on the weekends and I'm not work, that's a hard boundary for me. I have very good work-life balance right now. Mm. And so one thing I'll always say is, like, someone else's emergency is not my emergency.
Can you say that again? That's really good.
Yeah. Someone else's emergency is not my emergency.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, I love that. That is something that's one of those things to hold to. Yeah, because it's so easy to get caught out on other people's important things, other people's emergencies, other things that need urgent attention right now, because, but it's not my emergency. Right. And it gives response. Yeah. It's a responsibility piece of actually saying, responsible for my side of things.
Yep.
You're responsible for your things, and knowing where that line is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just, I love that. I love that. Yeah. Oh, as someone who has panic and has done a lot of work on my panic, one of the things in the past, which I am guilty of, is having something I think is a big emergency and then making it sound so catastrophic to other people to kind of drag them in to help me.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting more recently learning to take ownership actually of that and be like, okay, this is actually my emergency, not everybody else's emergency. I might communicate some desire for help, or even my in-laws are really helpful with problem solving. If I ask, they won't give it if I don't ask for it. But if I go, hey, can you help me figure out some other options of what I can do in this situation? They're really helpful, but not projecting that on them as you have to solve this problem for me. It has been a big learning piece to take responsibility and not expect other people to rescue me. That actually been empowering, I think, for me to realize that I've got myself. I can rescue myself. I can get myself out of these messes. This last week, actually, just as an example, this last week messes have been thinking that I had gotten with plenty of time to book my dog into the kennels for the holidays, for Christmas holidays, and being told that actually they booked out 2 months ago. And just being oh no, what am I going to do? Sort of situation. Right, right. Starting to call around all the rest of the kennels and being like, managed to get on 10th on the wait list on one and another one. And then it was like 30 on their wait list, 70 on their wait list. And it was interesting because with COVID, the reason for this is with COVID, quite a few of the kennels shut down, but also everyone went and got themselves a dog to have company and for walks and things. So there's more dogs, less kennels for Christmas. So I was just like, oh no, this is our Christmas holidays ruined and we're going to be waiting to see whether we get on a wait list, but we're really far down on the wait list, so the likelihood is low, all this sort of stuff. And usually like I would just go into full panic mode, and it was interesting this time going, okay, let's problem solve, let's see all the solutions, let's talk to people, see if we can find a solution. And it was interesting not projecting the problem onto my in-laws, but asking them kind of, can you help me problem solve this? That they're like, well, your dog's calmed down recently, so we'd be happy to take him for some of it. And so I was able to work out with the dog kennel that they'd take him for a portion, a significant portion of it, but just need my in-laws to drop him there and pick him up and have him look after him for one night. And it was like, okay, able to sort it out. But I had to really intentionally hold myself back from making it everyone else's problem, because I was actually like, actually booking the dog in is my responsibility. I can get other people's help to problem solve, and they might be able to help in certain ways, but it's not their responsibility to solve this for me and rescue me. And
I love that. And I love like talking it out like that. You know, sometimes just bringing some of these things into the sessions that I do with my clients, like just talking them through a little bit, and we can really, you know, it just helps to have somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Absolutely. The first day was, to be honest. And then I was like, I'm going to come back to this tomorrow and we're going to go through some problems. I think part of my kindness to myself piece is allowing myself to have that day and then kind of the next day pick up my skills and be like, okay, you've had your moment. Let's do the skills and do the things. And it's interesting when I step back from the world is falling down around me perspective and go, actually, let's problem solve and see what else we can do. It's interesting how you can find other solutions when you get out of that headspace, I think.
It is. And I really like that you're like, you have to have this day to just be like, oh my goodness. Like, because I think, you know, when we talk about feelings, like you have to feel your feelings. And in that moment, you were like, oh goodness, I am overwhelmed. This is stressful. What am I going to do? But if you were to push down those feelings, like it's probably going to like just create like more negative effects, like avoiding or, you know, just forgetting about the problem and just being angry. So by feeling those feelings and then the next day, like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like that's perfect. Like that's a perfect strategy right there.
No, thank you. Yeah, I think one of the things that I've mentioned a couple of times on other interviews is that being an anxiety expert, it's quite challenging when I have my own anxiety not to beat myself up and be like, you're supposed to have it all together. Like, and actually be like, no, I am the person who has the tools, who knows how to use them. And when my anxiety pops up, it's a good opportunity for me to use those skills and then potentially even share with other people how I'm using the skills.
Exactly. You know, it's funny because it was a couple of weeks ago and I was just having a really overwhelming week and, you know, I wasn't feeling very well and things were just not going well. Yep. And my group, I do a group accountability call with some of my clients and we got on and everyone was just in this negative space. And I said, okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Let me share a little bit about my week. And I was like, this has happened. This has happened. I'm in a really bad space today, but you know what? We're here. And so let's just like, you know, let's talk about what we did. Let's try and celebrate something from this week. It might be hard to figure out what that is. Mm-hmm. I might struggle to figure that out too, but we're going to do this together. Oh. And they were like, oh, okay. Like you struggle too. And I was like, sure do.
Human over here.
Exactly.
It's funny. Oh, yeah. And it's interesting how, especially with what we do, mm-hmm. our struggles can sometimes be that when we share them, they can be that thing that makes it possible for other people to dig into that part of themselves too.
Yeah.
To go, yeah. Oh, okay, she's struggling with this. I've been beating myself up for having this issue that I feel like yeah. I should be over. Okay, maybe this, it's okay for me to be, you know, yeah. working through this and have challenges at times.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have to remind myself, another kindness piece, that just because I'm struggling doesn't mean I'm back at square one. Doesn't right. mean that everything I've done in the interim is completely useless and that I,
yeah.
you know, I haven't made any progress. I'm right back right. at the beginning. It's like, actually, look how far I've come, and I might be struggling today, but that's very different from the months and months of mental health struggle that I used to have that I'm right. now it's like a hard day or week, not
yeah.
months and years of this sort of struggle.
Yeah. I'm interested. And I know the tools. Yeah.
I'm interested, like, with it sounds like your experience very much fed into your business.
Yes.
I find myself having been through a whole lot of anxiety struggles and now you turning that around, that challenge into purpose, how incredible that's been for my business. Is that something like that you've found, like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I started doing the personal development and when I started getting certified in coaching, I thought to myself, there is so much more I could be doing. Ooh. I felt really held back in my job that I was doing at the hospital. I feel really held back in therapy sessions, you know, that I do with clients sometimes. The expertise that I can give in the coaching realm makes me just feel like this is where I'm meant to be. Like I can give so much more in this space than what I was giving.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, and I keep coming across this time and time again, because I think the things that we've been through and we've worked through, there's a different experience when you're helping another person, when you understand it on a real personal level, not yes. just like a, I've learned in books and I've helped a lot of people right. with this, but I've actually not worked through this myself. It's a very right. different relationship than it when you're is. Like, I've been in the trenches too and know what this feels like, and yep. I'm going to help you work through this yeah. and come out of this.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. I think that you're able to relate to people on such a different level. And mm-hmm. also just recognizing like what worked for me might not work for you, mm-hmm. but we're going to figure this out together. Like we have a lot of tools in our toolbox to be able to figure out what's going to work for you.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an important piece of it too, is yeah, like you said, what works, yeah. what worked for me doesn't necessarily yeah. mean that will work for you.
Yeah.
But having a range of tools that you can use in different situations yeah. and things change. And like we're talking about, sometimes we go through these things and we're like, okay, I'm going to need to pick up some new tools and to yeah. use more of these tools to get through the new challenges. Yeah. I find personally, and especially recently, that quite a few of my struggles are coming from taking on a new level in my life.
Yeah.
Stepping out into, you know, the sort of business work, investments, stuff we're doing. It's a new level of challenge. And so yeah. you've got to learn to deal with the struggles at a different level. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that you're still, it's a different struggle. It's the next level of struggle. Is that yeah. something you experience as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even being starting my coaching business, I have no business experience. And I was yeah. like, I'm a cool person. Like people are going to want to just come work with me. That is not how it works. So learning how to market myself and network and
yep.
put myself out there in ways that made me a little uncomfortable at first. And, you know, I think the more that you grow as a person, the more your business grows, like the more you're putting yourself out there into these uncomfortable, like new territories that are hard.
Yeah. Yes. I'm interested whether you found part of that hard was the social media side of things, putting yourself out on sort of like world stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had some coaches who have said, you know, share your most vulnerable moments and share a piece of who you are. And I'm like, I don't even know these people. How am I supposed to like? So it was a very big shift for me to start putting my life in the public. Mm. And you know, it made me very nervous at first, and now it's just something I do like every day. So But I think that, you know, as time goes on, like, you know, learning what social media platforms to use, learning what's successful, like there's always something new. I've just been introduced to LinkedIn and now I'm like, okay, now I have to find, you know, figure out how to use this platform. There's always something.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is the interesting thing about business. And I think why personal development for people who run business is so important is because there's so much challenge and new things to learn and develop. And, you know, you might be really good at what you do, but you also have to market that. One of the things that I loved most when I was looking at your Instagram was this one video where you're doing, it was that four, my videos have been seen over four people worldwide. Oh my gosh. You've got to check out Jen's Instagram and find that one because that's just so classic. And it's the funny thing about being stressed about social media to start with is I was like, what if we go viral and everyone sees us in the entire world and then people like say horrible things and they like track us down and stuff. And then your video gets like four views and you're just like, okay, this is a different challenge than what I thought it was going to be.
Absolutely. Like here, I think I'm going viral and I'm going to have like all these followers and no, like sometimes people don't know it's hit or miss and you never know who's going to watch it. And, you know, I think one thing that kind of relates to this is that thought of rejection too. Like, you know, I think that's come up for me. Like, oh, are people saying no because I did something wrong? Or, you know, that's sometimes where that anxiety kicks in for me too. Like, what can I do differently? Make sure I appeal to this person or, you know, so I get that. Like, people are going to say mean things on Instagram and, you know, you just get in your own head sometimes.
I wonder if sometimes it can be helpful having a bit of a runway though with the social media thing to kind of, to get used to that experience. I think it would be quite challenging if you actually landed first viral hit, first thing you did. That I think the likelihood of that is quite low. And so getting into business, actually the thing you're like more likely to experience is the slow build of people slowly getting to know you. I think especially I wonder if it's also in the mental health space, is a bit more of a slow build.
People feel you out and they're like, oh, should I trust this person, you know, because it's a big topic.
And it can do it entertaining, but it's also has more serious elements to it as well, I think. But thank you so much. It's been really cool connecting with you about this side of things, and I really loved digging into that priorities piece has been, and also the comment about your someone else's emergency isn't my emergency, like that's going to stick with me.
Love it.
And the reverse, that my emergency isn't someone else's emergency as well. Taking that responsibility, I think, continue to work on that.
Even if you can make yourself giggle in that moment, like, okay, this is my emergency, maybe not somebody else's.
Yeah, this has been so great, Jen. And thank you so much for jumping on. And if people have listened to this and they're like, hey, I'd really like to work with Jen and get what my priorities are and some more kindness in my life and work through some burnout, how can they connect with you? What's the best way to get hold of you? What's your best socials? That sort of side of things.
Yeah. Instagram, you can find me at Kindfulness Coaching, and you can also find me online on the web at kindfulnesscoaching.net.
Awesome. We're talking about a program that you do, a group coaching, and do you want to just tell us a little bit about that before we finish up?
Yeah, so right now I am running a 4-week productivity boot camp. So it is for like the professionals, and any of my one-on-one clients that I'm currently working with automatically is like a bonus go into a group accountability weekly call. So that is with all of my current clients. And we usually do a topic. We'll talk about some struggles and challenges, but we'll also share our wins. And they're just like-minded women who are coming together. But you can get into that either by being a one-on-one client or the 4-week productivity bootcamp that I'm offering.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'll get Jen to send us links so that we can put them all in the show notes so that you can connect with her. Awesome. Thanks again, Jen. And I hope you have a really great week.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for listening to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. That's it for this week's episode. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to click the follow button and please do share this with your family and friends. And And don't forget to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. That's at Anxiety Specialists. And if you're interested to learn how you can live an anxiety-free life, you can get our epic Anxiety Reducer Guide absolutely free, so you can get started right away on getting your anxiety back down. Just grab the link in the show notes. Feel free to message us and let us know what you'd like to learn next. I am your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
And we're going to be back next week with more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.